Yesterday, I am joined by pro basketball agent David Pick. David, what's going on?
How you doing, man? Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thanks for joining me. It's kind of late where you are. How was your home? You had a busy day, right?
It wasn't really a busy day. You know, it was the Sabbath here in Israel, so that's when everything kind of winds down and one day off with the family. But we've been in lockdown since September 20th, so tomorrow, actually, they're lifting the lockdown. So for the first day in a while, my kids are going back to daycare. My wife's going back to work. So it was kind of, you know, a celebration day, if you may call it that.
Okay. So everything on, so basketball was over there too?
Well, basketball also was on lockdown. Basically, Israel had a second spike in COVID cases.
Okay.
And they wanted to be on top of the situation, so they kind of shut down Israel, and all the teams couldn't practice. You know, they closed the gyms. Players were quarantined. Guys who didn't want to be here repeatedly
right.
quarantined went back home. But now everything's opening up again. You know, teams are playing internationally, so they can travel, and teams are coming in to play them. So, you know, things are starting to pick up again. Unfortunately, around Europe, I'm hearing from teams and other players and coaches that COVID is spiking up there as well. So I guess, you know, you see all over the internet that all of a sudden, you know, international organizations are canceling games and,
right.
you know, just games are being determined by do you have enough players to put them on the court? And if not, then you forfeit the game, you lose 20-0. And, you know, the sport is kind of losing from, you know, the fun of it, the love or the relevance or whatever, because it's just about who has the most men to
okay.
suit up for a game. And that's not what it's about. So hopefully it all blows over soon.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure you missed a game of basketball. I know when the USA went on that hyenas, I was going a little crazy. But I understood why they did it, but still, being a fan of the game also, love watching basketball and being a part of it, covering it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Basketball is a sanctuary for many people. You know, it's a way of life for me personally. And, you know, a lot of us don't really know what we do without basketball.
Right.
So for it to be coming back, and, you know, the NBA bubble was a great success. And a lot of people, you know, were holding on by, you know, the tip of their nails just to watch some basketball. Even if I had to stay up until 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning to watch games.
Right.
Those were the only games to watch all over the world.
Right.
So, you know, it's a great sport.
Yes, it is. So you were originally born in New Jersey.
Yeah.
How was it transitioning to Israel? Like when you come back to the States, like you used to cover Summer League. How was the difference of transition from Israel from the United States, in your opinion?
Oh, well, the toughest transition, honestly, is jet lag. Because that's the craziest part when you go back and forth. But I don't do it so often. You know,
right.
I came at a relatively young age with my family, my parents, my siblings. I have two siblings that still live in the States. My brother lives in Santa Monica, and my sister lives in New York. And when I used to go to Summer League over the past four, you know, in the recent 4 years that I've gone, I've, you know, made a point to stop either in L.A. or New York to see them.
Right.
And my nieces and nephews. But, you know, there is no Summer League. No one knows when it's going to be a Summer League. The next time, I don't know when
right.
it's going to be a G League. You know, I mean, you have all these plans to go to Portsmouth, to go to the Combine or whatever the case may be. And it's
right.
just not relevant anymore because, you know, we're hit with this new reality where you don't even really know what's supposed to happen tomorrow, let alone plan ahead. You know, I had a hotel and a flight and everything booked for the EuroLeague Final Four last year in Germany, and it was a non-refundable ticket and everything, and
wow.
I put money down the drain because, you know, who expected in December when I booked it that in March the world is going to go ballistic?
Right. Yeah, everybody's still dealing with it. Some looking for a cure, but what's going to happen soon? Hopefully you blow over, like you said earlier, but we all waiting, because no one knows when the next NBA season is going to start. I mean, Evan Silver said, might be January, and now sports might start in March. So no one really knows as of right now. So you were a reporter breaking news, and you transitioned to an agent. How was the process for you?
It was relatively smooth. I wouldn't say surprisingly, because I planted a lot of seeds throughout the process before I made the transition officially. You know, I've been in the media for the better part of a decade. I had a lot of contacts. I knew a lot of teams and players, and I knew what players were looking for in an agent. I knew what frustrated them, or I knew what made them happy. And it was easier for me to form relationships with people in the industry as opposed to an agent coming up who says, you know, this is what I want to do for a living. I want to represent basketball players. And then you're just going around from gym to gym trying to introduce yourself or to get to a player via another player, or connect or something like that. You know, I kind of had that all pretty much established. My Twitter following is pretty big. I'd say it's the biggest outside the NBA for any single reporter ever, I guess. So, you know, that helped me a lot, you know, to a lot of high-level players and character people who knew me and I guess appreciated the work, the time that I put in, and, you know, the effort to be what I became with my own two hands. So I bet on myself because I had a family at the time as well, and I basically walked away from a steady job with a pension plan and insurances and health care covered and everything. And to go do everything on your own is a big leap of faith in yourself. And, you know, looking back on it, it was only 2018, but, you know, I think that in a very short time I've been fairly successful.
Yeah, that's what it's about in doing something that you love to do. It seemed like you love doing your job, man. Well, it's not a job, it's career. You love what you do. That's what it's about.
Yeah, it is. You know, like, I've been on the other side. I haven't had a job that I didn't like, luckily, but I had to do mandatory 3 years of military service in Israel.
Right.
And when you wake up 3 years every single day to go to the Army, or when you're in the Army, you're not waking up to something that you want to do or to something that you love doing.
Right.
So you can appreciate now, you know, waking up and talking to GMs or athletes and advertising agencies or things like that. And it's just a different dynamic, and it's much more enthusiastic and thrilling. And who's the next person you're going to meet and form a relationship for the first time? You know, this is the first time we're talking, and I'm already in the basketball year for 13 years.
Right.
And this is another relationship that can keep growing. And yesterday, there's an NBA player trainer who is in Israel with one of his closer friends. And he reached out to me, and we're going to sit down and probably meet over the next few days. And I connected him with one of my clients who's in Israel. And there's another relationship, and it just keeps growing. And those are more of the thrilling things that you have fun doing on the day-to-day process.
Yes, yes, yes. And for a while, you were the go-to guy for info on players in the EuroLeague. So it only makes sense that you made that transition. I mean, why not better yourself and get paid for what you already know? People come to you for. So it was a good move that you did.
Yeah, yeah. People were surprised that I wasn't making, you know, money off the tweets and the news that I was putting out, because I was hired by a domestic website in Israel. It was the biggest. It's called one.co.il. They gave you the platform. They have their own radio show, their own television station. So I was also on the news, and I was broadcasting basketball games occasionally. So it was kind of like, I wouldn't say the ESPN, but it was like up there with them, top competition. And that was my salary. That's what I was getting paid to do. But they didn't care if I was putting anything out on Twitter. You know, all they cared about was if it's in their very narrow-minded, tunnel vision Israeli website that caters to the Israeli public.
Right.
And I just went out on a limb, and I said, I'm going to try something different. You know, my close friend is Mark Stein, who was a mentor to me. And, you know, Jonathan Givoni from Draft Express is one of the most brilliant people who are with ESPN right now as a scout, and one of the most savvy international basketball analysts of all time. And you know, these guys are blowing up on Twitter, and it was just another lane that I wanted to expand myself in. And now you can't meet an Israeli journalist that is not on Twitter. They're all on Twitter. I wouldn't say I'm a transcender, but it definitely helped me promote myself, but I never made money off it.
And you can speak four languages. I know that there's benefits of that in the field you do.
Excuse me?
I said you can speak four languages.
Yeah, English is my native language, and I lived in Israel for over 25 years.
Right.
So I speak Hebrew fluently as well. And my wife is French, and we recently celebrated 11 years together. So my son and daughter can wake up and speak to me in a language that most of the time I don't understand what they're saying, but I can
right.
get by. And then I studied Russian in university because I felt that Russia is a very strong basketball market, and it has the second best league in Europe outside of the EuroLeague in the VTB. And that's somewhere where I have very strong connections with team or with a partner of mine who's there. And I felt like Russian was very important to me. So I pursued studying that.
Yeah, and that gives you an edge other agents might not have. Or they might can't speak all the languages you do. So that gives you a heads up on potential clients that they can't reach.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what do you like most about being an agent? Besides connecting with wonderful people like every other day?
That's a great question. The problem solving is really gratifying. You know, obviously when you get a contract done, you're happy for your client, you're happy for yourself because
right.
you put a lot of time and effort and resources in, and that's how you, you know, reap the fruits of your labor.
Right.
But when a client has a problem and it works out, or when a team has a problem and they get over the hump and win, it's very, very gratifying. I have, for an example, I have a client, Malik Dine, who's from University of Washington, bounced around a couple years in Europe in relatively small leagues, and now he's playing in the best domestic league in Europe in Spain. And just a few hours ago, they just beat the hottest team in Europe, who a few weeks ago won the Champions League title in Athens. And they were undefeated since then, and they just beat him, and he had an unbelievable game, 8 points, 8 rebounds, 4 blocks. He's the number one shot blocker in Spain. And it's so gratifying when you help somebody who came from virtually nothing, who had no money, who is extremely responsible, who supports his mother in the States and his father in Senegal, and sends them money all the time, and just a really hard worker. And you see where he was and where he is right now, and it's really gratifying. You know, I have another client who played 2 years ago in the third division in France, and now he's in the VTB, which is the second best international league in Europe.
Okay.
And you just see how you know, appreciative they are. And that's the kind of fuel that, you know, that's the motivation that fuels their engine to keep working. Because, you know, there aren't many diamonds in the rough. There's just one diamond. But along the way, you know, there's one goldfish. But along the way, there are many fish that you can help. And they help you as well. You know, a lot of people are sending me messages like, your client's doing great, and, you know, he's really great progress, great job with him. It's
right.
gratifying. That's a great feeling.
The Lakers just recently won a championship. Ralph Pelinka moved into their front office. With all your connections, have you thought down the line about maybe moving into their front office yourself, all the connections you have?
That's a great question. You know, I was reporting overseas, and I was breaking NBA news from my apartment in Israel. I was breaking, you know, guys going to China or Europe, or
right.
like Lamar Odom and Nate Robinson, but I was also breaking news in the NBA, like LaMarcus Aldridge going to San Antonio and not going to Phoenix. Like all these, there were a bunch of stories where I felt like I can not compete with
uh-huh.
the top guys. The top newsbreakers in the NBA, but I
right.
felt like I have a niche where one of the websites, ESPN or Yahoo or something like that, can take me on, and I would cover international sports for them. because there are a lot of NBA players who are playing overseas every year. It's a tunnel, you know. So the pipelines go back and forth.
Right.
And I thought that I can bring something to the American websites. And you know, I did work with Bleacher Report and I did work with Basketball Insiders, but it wasn't permanent. And that was something that kind of, you know, it was bittersweet because I started to do it, but it never really gained momentum.
Okay.
And in terms of and front office and joining a team, at one point, you know, it was definitely a dream. You know, at last, I'd say it wasn't. And I think a lot of people, they throw that out loosely. I want to be in the front office. What does that mean?
Right.
What can you do? What do you bring to the table? Like, college kids are sending emails to intern, and this is my dream to be in a front office. But what does that mean? Do you know basketball? Literally, do you know basketball? And
right.
It's a very big umbrella. You know, it covers a lot of things. And I do think that I have a lot to contribute.
Right.
I'm not thinking about that right now. It's not on my mind. I have, you know, over 30 clients that I'm responsible for their livelihood.
Right.
So that's where my focus and attention is right now, but it's not something that I'm not ruling out down the road in the future because of the Rob Pelinkas of the world. And he isn't the only one who's done it. You know, Justin Zanuck did it before him, and it was Utah, and there
right.
are other agents who have also made that transition. And maybe a EuroLeague team, you know, was going to suggest that I join their organization as well. And that was something that was also discussed. But didn't come into fruition. But we'll see, maybe one day. But, you know, speaking of the Lakers, it was funny. When they won the championship, you know, I'm happy for them and the Lake Show and everything. And when they won the
right.
championship, they put out a graphic photo of all the players. And it didn't have Avery Bradley. And aside from the fact that I'm looking at it and I'm like, you know, Avery Bradley should be on this graphic. He's a Laker. He's getting a ring. They were the first seed with him before the bubble.
Right.
Avery is a close personal friend of mine. Of all the Laker players, I know Avery Bradley because he played in Israel in the 2011 lockout. So we have a relationship since then. Like, we were talking throughout the bubble. We were talking before the bubble.
Right.
And then I just, you know, I was up at 2:30 in the morning until 6 o'clock in the morning. I was watching game 6. And I talked to Avery right after. And then I see the picture. I didn't say anything, but I see the picture, and I'm like, how can they leave Avery Bradley off the Lakers graphic?
Yeah, that is crazy. I know he's eligible for a ring, but, I mean, yeah, you're right. He should be in the championship. Like, he should be in the photo. He was a part
of
the team.
Of course he should. It's like they said Deion Waiters would get a ring either way because he started the season with Miami.
Yeah.
Or it's like David Black coached until January with Cleveland, then Ty Lue won a championship and David Black got a ring.
Crazy. You said there's not a diamonds in the rough. How does that add to the competitive level over in Israel with players trying to take their own spot?
Can you repeat the question? How does that compare?
How does that add to the, you said there's not a lot of diamonds in the rough. How does that add to the competitive level on the court for players trying to take their own spot in Israel?
And Israel is a very small market. Israel doesn't generally produce a lot of NBA talent
right.
or a lot of EuroLeague talent to begin with. We've only had two Israeli NBA players, Omri Kaspi and Gal Meko. And Danny Avdia, I'm assuming, is going to be the third, who's a projected top five lottery pick in the upcoming draft.
Okay.
Israel is just, you know, we're not the Serbia, the Lithuania, the Croatia, the French of the world. You know, we're not blessed with those amount of athleticism, height. Our players are more, I guess you'd say, intelligent. But the Israelis, a lot of them don't have the work ethic that it takes to really lock down, buckle down, and become a real diamond in the rough. It's a generation player. Omri Kaspi was a generation player, and he was drafted in the first round. And, you know, now we're decades later, and Danny Avdia is a generational player.
Right.
And you know, we're talking about few, and Oded Kakash was before, and this is years before, and we're talking about 2-3 guys over the course of 40 years. So it's extremely competitive. It's very hard, especially in a small market like Israel. But a lot of European agents start to scout and recruit these kids at a young age at the international 14 and 15-year-old tournaments. That is where you start to develop your relationship with these young kids. You can't wait for them to be 17 or 18 or 19 and get their first chance in the pro level, because they already have a relationship with an agent for a few years already working with a company,
right?
Because they're just, you know, there's a diamond in the rough somewhere, and you're just out to get all these kids, and one of them has to become eventually that guy.
Right. You knew when it was your time to transition into being an agent. What would you say to anyone that's thinking about being an agent and getting into that field? What advice could you give them?
I didn't hear a question.
So you knew when it was your time to transition into being an agent with all your connections and everything. What advice could you give someone that's thinking about being an agent and getting into that field?
It's a very, very competitive industry. It's not cliche when I say it's cutthroat, and it's a jungle. It really is. I haven't seen this amount of competitiveness in anything that I've done outside of basketball. Not even in the media side. I know a lot of reporters are out there to take ownership and credibility for a scoop. I was one of those guys, you know, when you don't get credit. So it's frustrating,
right. But
in the agent world, it's completely different. Like, my advice to young aspiring agents is don't become one. It's not easy. I'm telling you the truth. If I hadn't had 10 years of basketball and the relationships I had to back me up, already planted seeds over all these years and set the stage for something that I wasn't really leapfrogging into anything. You know, I wasn't diving in. I just transitioned very smoothly.
Right.
And for someone coming up, it can be unbelievably surprising and challenging. And it's very hard because you're coming in and, you know, a player, first of all, it's a very small world. And players know other players. They work out with players. They train and play. We train with players, NBA, EuroLeague, whatever the case may be.
Right.
And they're all friends. They all know each other. So the agents and the players. So if you're a new guy coming up, you walk into a gym and, you know, you approach a player and you know, it's all good. And then the player's like, all right, so who do you know? What can you do for me? If I'm your client, I know what I'm doing for you. What can you do for me? And the guy comes in there and he's like, well, I'm just, you know, I'm starting out. I have some connections. And it's not appealing to a guy who already knows an agent with 5 EuroLeague players or
right.
10 NBA players. You know, like, a lot of hover towards Rich Paul because of LeBron James. So, you know, you got to have the one to get the others. And for a new aspiring agent who's just trying to come up, if you don't have a player who can help you recruit or who knows other players, it's suicidal.
So what are your thoughts on how the NBA pulled off the season with Adam Silver, especially the job he did beating the NBA season done, because this was a task when he threw it off.
It was. He's done a phenomenal job. I think Adam Silver has. It's just brilliant. The fact that there were zero positive COVID test cases in the bubble
proves
that, you know, the NBA has done a fantastic job. I also watched the YouTube video by Mark Spears about Rajon Rondo's brother, who was a barber in the bubble, and that one's fantastic. And I watched another video about the chefs who go to bed at like 2 o'clock in the morning and wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning the next day to start cooking for all these teams, and the same routine for 3 months. And you hear Russell Westbrook leaving an $8,000
tip.
For people who work their ass off. You can only imagine how difficult that is. And I just, Adam Silver did a fantastic job. And then on top of that, he gave What did he get? $1,000 bonus to every employee in the bubble?
Yeah, and we can't.
Or every NBA employee or something like that.
Right.
And and Friday's off and Thanksgiving or something like that. And, like, they just keep being creative and he keeps reinventing himself in so many fantastic ways. I think the NBA is in such good hands and everyone overseas is following it. Everyone wants to be that you know, the fan of the next guy coming up and Jamal Murray, what he did in the bubble was phenomenal.
And,
you know, he wasn't who he is now during the season. And look how that helped him. Also because there weren't as many teams, right? So you saw guys play more games. They got more exposure. Guys who necessarily weren't in the spotlight during the season, who don't get as much televised opportunities. So I think it was great success. And I hope he doesn't have to do a bubble in January for the results in the league.
Yeah, I can't wait for this next season to come. Oh, my God. Like, we got Kevin Durant on the back with Kyrie. We got the Clippers got to go try and redeem themselves. I still believe the Clippers. Mm-hmm. I still believe the Clippers. I like the different Nuggets, but I don't understand. It's hard to get my mind around Denver, the Clippers going in 3-1 lead. It's just hard because, I mean, I just figured, you know, Paul George might would step up for at least one game, one half, and, like, put the nail in the coffin, but it never happened.
I'm with you on that. I'm totally with you on that.
David, thank you so much for joining me, man, especially with time it is with you right now in Irvine. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you. No problem. Thanks for calling. Thanks for reaching out.
I definitely think I'm in the future. Talk again. Don't think so.
All right. No problem. Anytime. Take it easy.
Yes, sir. Yes, that was David Pick, Pro Basketball Agent. Thanks for joining me.